And we're holding on page Chof in Sota, the top line, Uli in Os Mem Gimel. Continuing Darshaning the Psukim in Shmos, now we're up to where Moshe is in the basket, in the river, and Bas Pare found him. So the positive is the Tachmel Olav, she had Rachmanos on him, Vaktoma, and she says, Miyaldehi Ibrim Zeh, this must be one of the Jewish boys. This must be one of the Jewish, one of the Jewish boys. The Medrash, by the way, says on it that, that she might have thought to, you know what, let me not bother, especially like we learned yesterday, her maidservants are trying to talk her out of it, but Hashem caused Moshe to cry at that point, and that aroused her rachmanis on him. Anyway, Minoya, how does she know, doctor, that it's a Jewish boy? After all, we learned before, Pare had made a Xera, the Mitzvim have to throw their babies in the Nile as well. She saw that he was Gemalot. As we learned yesterday, according to one opinion, Moshe was born circumcised, or even not, he would have had it at 8 days old, as the case may be. So she would recognize, she recognized from that he's Jewish. Marsha points out, even according to the, now, if it's true that, it's true if he was born circumcised, there are sometimes, it is a natural thing. So there are some goyim who are born that way as well. But it's uncommon, so therefore, you know, if she sees that he has a bris, then the likelihood is that that he's a Jewish boy. And also, Marsha says, you know, especially if you have to do a tofes gam bris, then it's going to be noticeable. In addition, also, there is the point, you know, there is the point also, first of all, it's Yosef points out, again, like we learned yesterday, she saw the shinner with him, and that alone is reason for her to realize that it's a Jewish boy. But in addition, also, you know, even like this, we have, you know, many years earlier, Yosef had made all the mitzvim have bris in, but, you know, even then, they wouldn't do it as children. They would do it as adults. So therefore, as older children or whatever, so here where it's a 3-month-old baby, then she could realize if he's circumcised, he must be a Jewish baby.
Didn't all the not have a bris until after the 40s?
So many of them did not, actually. Many of them did not have a bris, you're right, and that's why Moshe and Aaron and Yeshua had to do a bris on them before they ate from the Purim Pesach. Shevet Levi, in particular, did keep bris, but I guess she was in that case then. So basically, then, you know, you have, it's a known thing, the Jews, if there's going to be anybody who does infant bris, it's going to be the Jews, it's not going to be the Mitzvim. Okay. The pasuk says that she said miyaldeh ivrim zeh. So what's this word zeh? Marsha points out, in other words, because the point is, if it just meant that she just meant to say that it's a Jewish baby, the expected expression would be miyaldeh ivrim hu. So Amar Rav Yochanan melamed shenisnaba shalom midaita, means she was saying a nevuah unknowingly. She was saying something that she didn't even realize the full import of it herself. Now, of course, she's not speaking in Lashon Kodesh; she's speaking in Egyptian. But whatever the phrasing that she used implies, zen noifel ve'in achon noifel. It means this one is going to be falling in, has fallen into the river. He's been placed in the river, but no other baby after him is going to. Namely, after this, the Mitzriim are going to end up being mevatel the gzera. So she didn't realize that, but that was what she was implying with her words. Now, why were they mevatel it? So behind her, d'amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar explains as follows. They started the whole Gzeira in the first place. So we said they had several, the Pare had made several different Gzeiras. And at one point we learned early on in the Sugya that they decided we're going to use water because they figured that they figured Hashem won't be able to punish us with water. But in addition, there was also, as the Gemara is going to say over here, that the astrologers knew, like this we learned before, that they knew that the savior of the Jewish people was born today, but they didn't know whether he was a Jew or a Mitzri. In addition, also, as the Gemara is going to say over here, they knew that he's going to end up getting harmed by water, and so they figured that, so they misunderstood what they saw. So my dichtiv, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, v'chi yomru aleichem, if the goyim tell you Jews, do shu'ala oivis v'ala yidonim, come, like we do, come and ask by the people who do oivin yidonim magic, if you want to know the future, hametzafzakim v'hamagim, and the Novi says, you should know, these machashvim, these magicians, the ones who do oivin yidonim, you should know, don't listen to the goyim who are trying to convince you to go to them like they do. You should realize that all they do is they chirp and they twitter, like birds. Rashi described the tzatzim would be like an ogre, which is a stork or some bird like that, and magim would be like cooing like doves. So they make noises and they don't really understand what they themselves are saying. And the Gemara explains, Mitzaf Tzafim also has another meaning. Tzofim ve'inim yodim ma'tzofim. They see, but they don't really understand what they're seeing. But magim ve'inim yodim ma'magim. And they say words, but they don't really realize the full import of what it is. So not only is it, as we learned before, that the astrologers see things, and they never see it 100% clearly. There's always some uncertainty. But in addition, like these magicians who do oivin yidoni, another such magic, to foretell the future, many times they end up seeing something, and they misinterpret it, and therefore they're just making noises, and they don't realize the full import of it. Interestingly, by the way, Rashi mentions on that pasuk in Yeshaya, brings from a medrash, that this pasuk and the next pasuk after in Yeshaya are actually not part of Yeshaya's nevuah, but rather part of the nevuah of Be'eri. You have the first Navi of the Treyasser is Hoshea ben Be'eri. He was a contemporary of Yeshaya, a little older. The rule is, the Gemara says, whenever it mentions a Navi's name and his father's name, it means his father was a Navi as well. So since he's called Hoshea ben Be'eri, it means that his father was, Be'eri was also a Navi. The Medrash identifies him with a person named Be'era and Divrei Yomim. Anyway, the point is, we don't have most of the Nevuos of this Be'era, but Rashi brings over there that this Pasuk and the following one are actually from his Nevuah, and they were just placed in the Sefer Yeshaya, because there's no place, there's no other better place to put them. Anyway, the point is, so the point is, again, that these astrologers and magicians and whatnot, what they see, they don't see clearly, and they end up misinterpreting. They could foretell that the one who saves the Jewish people is going to end up getting harmed, is going to end up getting punished through water. So they went and made the Gzera Kalabena Yilada, that all baby boys should be thrown in the Nile, and they figure that one of them is going to be this boy who's destined to save the Jewish people, and then he's going to end up in the water, and it won't work out, and he won't be able to save them in the end. Now when Moshe's basket was placed in the river, Omru, now the astrologers saw there's a change in what they see in the stars. Omru, they said, Piahu Simona. Now we don't see that simon anymore, that the savior of the Jewish people is still around. It seems like now he's been punished through the water. But the Gzera Sayu. So therefore, at that point, they canceled their Gzera. They told Paradise there's no reason to say that anybody else should be thrown in the river because it's already a done deal. The Haman and Yodim Shalmei Meriva who like it. Now they didn't realize that what they're really seeing is Moshe is going to end up getting punished through water, but not the water of the Nile, but rather the water of Mei Meriva when Moshe hit the rock at the end of the 40 years in the desert. And Hashem told him, because of that, you can't come into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they misinterpreted what they saw. Now the fact is, Rashi says it's true. When Moshe is in the water, he is in great danger. So it is valid to say that we don't see that, we already see that Loike, that he's being harmed by the water, because yeah, he's in great danger of being harmed over there. But nevertheless, Marsha points out that wouldn't be, the fact is, from that came very good things for the Jewish people, that Basia saved him and raised him in the palace, etc. So that wouldn't be, and it was also only a short, it was only a short-term thing, like we learned at the beginning, Miriam was only waiting around for 15, 20 minutes before Bas Pare showed up. So it must be that what they actually saw, and the fact that that what they saw in the stars originally had validity, but it was referring to the locus, to the punishment of Moshe many years later by Mei Meriva, but they misinterpreted it to think that it means now that he's in the water. So now when Basia says Zeh, that means that she unknowingly is realizing that this is what the astrologers are going to come up with this notion, and therefore they're going to tell Pari we don't need to be throwing any more babies into the Nile. This also fits with what Reb Chama Reb Chanina says. My dichtiv, what does the pasuk say after it tells the story of Mei Meriva? Hema Mei Meriva, they are the waters of Meriva, Asher Ravu Bnei Yisrael, where the Jewish people argued against Hashem. So what's the Hema? What does it mean, they? What are we associating it with? It means Hema. Those are the waters that all those years earlier, Pare's astrologers and saw, had seen, and they misinterpreted and thought that it meant that that Moshe has been harmed and has been drowned in the Nile. So that's why it says Hema. Behind the Kama Moshe, we find also that Moshe mentions something on the subject. He says when he's talking to Hashem in Parshas Va'aloska about how the people are complaining, they want meat, and I can't tolerate it anymore. And Moshe says, Sheshmeis elef ragli ha'om asher anochi bekirboi. This 600,000 men on foot that I'm among them. So what does he mean? Why the word ragli, besides that it means that they're walking on foot, the word ragli can also mean because of me. Rashi brings, like you have the word, Yaakov says to Lavan, Vayivarach Hashem oischol ragli. So therefore, it means Omer Melhem Moshe de Israel. It means besides that Moshe is speaking with Hashem at this point, it also means that Moshe is telling the Jewish people, "Bishvili nitzaltem kochem." It's because of me that all of you were saved. Because now, once I was in the water, then the Mitzriim were mevatel the gzeira. Now, Tosfos brings up the point. Wait a minute. The whole gzeira to begin with was because they saw in their astrology that Moshe and Shem Yisrael has been born, and therefore they gave the order that all children should be thrown in the Nile. So what does Moshe mean? That because of me all of you were saved. Adrava, because of him, many more of them were being thrown in the river. So Tosfos actually learns the original gzeiros that they did, the first part of it was telling the midwives to kill the baby boys, and then afterwards, and Marshall adds also when they're saying to begin with that the Jewish baby boys specifically should be thrown in the Nile, that wasn't because of Moshe, that wasn't because they saw Moshe and Shem Yisrael being born. That was in general, they wanted to reduce the number of Jews, and they figured, like we learned at the beginning of the Sugya, that they figured if we do it with water, then Hashem won't be able to get us. Now, when Moshe was born, then that was when, on that day, was when they made the third gzeira, that everybody, Jews and Egyptians, should be thrown into the river. And as it happened, Moshe was the first one and the last one to actually be thrown in. And therefore, he can well say that in my zchus, all of you were saved. Namely, that at that point, they canceled all of these gzeiras about throwing babies in the river because they don't need to anymore. Because not only because, first of all, the astrologers thought, they saw that Moshe and Shem Yisrael, that the one who's going to save the Jewish people, has been drowned, but also because they figure at this point, if there's not that figure to their way of looking at it, well, now there's not going to be a Moshe and Shem Yisrael. Therefore, we have very little to worry about, but the whole point was why they were enslaving the Jews, like it says earlier in the parasha, because they thought, you know, the people is becoming very strong and powerful, the Nilcham Banu, and they'll fight against us, the Olam and Aretz, and they'll kick us out of the land. Well, if they have no leader, they're not going to be able to do that. So therefore, they have less reason to worry about, and therefore, they can go and cancel their Zeta. So, with that said, Ion Yaakov mentions another point from a Medrash, which says that there were hundreds of thousands, there were 600,000 Jewish babies who were thrown into the Nile, but all of them were saved in the schus of Moshe. So therefore, so also, Sheshmeyas Elef Ragli, that because of me, all 600,000 of you who were thrown into the Nile at the same time as I was, were all saved in my schus. Therefore, that's the Ragli Asher Anochi B'Kirbe, because in other words, the point is, the reason why the Gemara is darshaning it, Marasha points out, if it just meant that they're walking on foot, you would expect it to say Ragle, meaning the feet. So Ragli, as can be said, as Rashi says, that it means that it was in my schos that all of this happened. Next. That day when Moshe's basket was placed into the Nile was the 21st of Nisan. And the fact that Moshe was saved was because Omru Malachi Asharis, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim argued to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Misha Osid Loimel Lefanecha Shira Al Hayam, the one who in the future is going to say Shira in front of you by the Yamsuf, the Yom Zan, this very day, because Kriyas Yamsuf and then Oz Yosher took place on the 21st of Nisan, Rashi brings from Seder Olam, the calculation, Yitzias Mitzrayim was on the 15th, then they took them 3 days to get to Piachiros, which is where they were camping before the last encampment. Before Kriyas Yamsuf, then Pare found out that they're not returning, so then he chases after them for 3 days, and on Shvi Shal Pesach is when Kriya, on the night of Shvi Shal Pesach is when Kriyas Yamsuf took place. That's, by the way, why we stay up on Shvi Shal Pesach, why it's on Minog to stay up Shvi Shal Pesach night, is because Kriyas Yamsuf took place in the middle of the night, Bashmurda Saboyker. Anyway. So the Malachim are arguing to Hashem, Moshe, who in the future is going to be saying Shira in front of you on this very day, the 21st of Nisan, Yoka Bayam or Bayoim Zeh, is it right that he should be punished through the sea or on this day? So therefore, you have to save him. And therefore, Hashem accepted that argument and then brought Basia there at the right time to save him. Ion Yaakov points out it could also be obviously if Moshe is drowned, he's not going to be saying Shira. So what do you mean he's going to say Shira? That already implies that he's going to be saved. So Ion Yaakov says, okay, what it can mean is that he might be saved. And first of all, that itself is the argument, because if he's saved, he'll be able to sing that Shira many years from now on that day. Therefore, you should save him now. Another possibility is, listen, it doesn't have to mean that right now he could have conceivably died the same way as by May Meribi. He didn't die right after that. He lived a few months after that. The same thing conceivably you could have that he would have gotten some kind of thing would have happened. And now the Malach HaShoros are saving, are telling him, are telling Hashem, you need to save him from any act, from any ill effects of this in the course of the Shira that he's going to say many years later. Marshall also adds the point that, before we were saying that Paris astrologers didn't really know what they were seeing. They saw him being punished through water, and they didn't realize it was going to be main Meriva. So now, our Gemara apparently is disagreeing with that and saying, no, in fact, if it hadn't been for the intercession of the Malachim, then Moshe Taka might have been drowned over there. But only because they successfully argued to Hashem to save him, then therefore he Taka was saved. And in that case, Marshall points out what it would mean is, fine, then the astrologers did see something true. They saw something in the Mazalis, but a Mazal Yisrael. The Jewish people are higher than Mazal, and because through great schus, and here's an example of that, where the Malachim are arguing this tremendous schus that Moshe is going to have in the future should cause you to override the Mazal now that these astrologers saw.
Which was
that they said that he's going to be punished through water, and they thought that, therefore, when they see in the stars that he's in the water, they thought that's it, he's a goner.
What was
the source we're saying is the Malachim are saying that one day, many years from now, on this very day, the 21st of Nisan, Moshe is going to be leading the Jewish people in singing Shira. And we find that Shira has a tremendous effect. The Medrash mentions, Rashi brings it on a pasuk in Shoftim, that when the Jewish people sing Shira, Hashem forgives their Averis. We find that Chizkiyahu would have been Mashiach if he had said and sang Shira. So for them to argue that he's going to sing Shira is a tremendously important thing. Rab Chanina says a similar thing, but he says the argument, first of all, that date wasn't the 21st of Nisan. He says Osayim Shishu B'Sivan. The date was the 6th of Sivan, the day of Matan Torah. Many years later, Amru Malach Hashoros Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and the Malachim are arguing to Hashem. Ribono Shel Olam, Misha Asa LeKabel Torah B'Har Sinai B'Yom Zeh. This person who Moshe, who in the future was going to be receiving the Torah on Har Sinai on this day, the 6th of Sivan, Yukah B'Yom Zeh. Is it right that he should be punished and drowned on this day, and therefore you have to save him? So therefore, similar kind of argument. Even Yaakov points out that, the Gemara elsewhere brings a machlokas, what's greater, Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol? Well, you can look at it. Receiving the Torah corresponds to Talmud. Singing the Shira corresponds to Maisa. So therefore, Rav Chanina bar Papa and Rav Acha bar Rav Chanina are arguing, in effect, which one is greater and which one was the argument of the Malachim that won the day. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'shlein l'mander Amar b'shisha b'sivan." According to the opinion that it was the 6th of Sivan, then it's easy enough to understand the chronology. Mashkachas l'gimel yarchi. Well, that's how you have 3 months, as we learned before. The pasuk says that Yocheved hit him for 3 months. D'amamar b'zayin ba'odur nolad Moshe, because we learn in a Gemara in Kiddushin that Moshe was born on Zayin Adar. Rashi brings over here from the relevant bits of Gemara over there that explain how we derive that. In a nutshell, the pasuk says at the end of the Torah, at the end of Zayin Adar, it says that they mourn for Moshe for 30 days. Then after that, Hashem speaks to Yeshua and tells him in 3 days the Jewish people are going to be crossing the Yarden. So therefore, the 33 days, the pasuk says they cross the Yarden on Yud Nisan. So 33 days back from Yud Nisan gets us to Zayin Adar. With that said, by the way, there are Midrashim that have other opinions about it. There is actually a Midrash that says that Moshe passed away on Zayin Shvat, interestingly. And then there's another opinion that there were two Adars that year, and it was Adar Aleph. That kind of thing is that sort of thing is relevant in halacha when it comes to commemorating a yahrzeit that comes out in Adar. The post can talk about, do you do it in an Adar edition? If a person passed away in Adar of a regular year, do you do the yahrzeit in Adar Aleph or Adar Beis? One of the sources that's brought to bear on this is this question of which Adar Moshe passed away in. So Moshe was born on Zayin Adar, B'Shiva Ba'Adar Mes Moshe, and Moshe passed away on Zayin Adar, because as he says in Parshas Vayelech Ben Me'ev Asim Shana Anoichi Hayoyim, I'm 120 years old exactly today, so he was born and passed away on the same day. So therefore, fine, B'Shiva Ba'Adar, B'Shisha B'Sivan, Shalasa Yarchi Havu, so Zayin Adar to Vav Sivan is 3 months. So therefore, so that would fit well with what the Pasuk is saying, that Yocheved hit him for 3 months. But if you're saying the 21st of Nisan, how do you get 3 months from Zayin Adar until Chafal of Nisan? It's only a month and a half. The answer is Osa Shana Mor Beres Osa. The answer is the year that Moshe was born was an Ibur year. So therefore you have, so he was born, according to that way of looking at it, he was born Zayin Adar Aleph. Well, therefore you have Ruba Shel Rishon, so you have most of the first calendar month, you have 23 days in Adar Rishon, the Ruba Shel Achron, most of the last month of the third month of Nisan, because you have 21 days into the month, then sorry, Shalom, and a complete month in the middle, so you have, in other words, 2.5 months, so therefore that's close enough, and it can be called 3 months. Next. So the pasuk says, after Bastia found the baby, so Vatomer Achosel Bas Parai. So Moshe's sister Miriam says to Bas Parai, Ha'elech, should I go v'karosi loch ishe me'nekes min ha'evriyas? Should I go call for you a wet nurse from among the Jews? V'senik loch ha'sayolet, and she'll nurse the baby for you. So Ma'ishnam me'evriyas. Why is Miriam specifically proposing from the Jewish women? It sounds like, Rashi says, it sounds like for some reason, non-Jewish women, Mitzri women, are not going to work. Why not? So Malama checks,
so this teaches us that,
what?
You would think, because that Mitzri woman wouldn't want to say
by
Ibrahim.
They wouldn't know that he's an Ibrahim. How would they know? How would they know? I mean, they're... So like we said, Mitzri children are being thrown into the sea as well. So no. Besides which, I mean, you know, come on. If the princess comes and tells you nurse this baby, you're not going to start asking questions. Wait, but this is a Jewish kid, you know. So the implication is that they tried. Is that there was something wrong with the non-Jewish women. So Malamachet Zidul Moshe Akol Mitzri is Kulon. So this teaches us that Shitaka tried that. She tried bringing around to various Mitzri women. But he refused to nurse from them. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's because Hashem said, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is in parenthesis, because the other way is Omar means that Moshe himself, like instinctively thought, Pesha also, Hashem arranged, Pesha also the Dabra Imi, the mouth of Moshe, which in the future is going to speak directly with me. Yinak Dover Tomei, should he nurse from something which is Tomei? So therefore, like instinctively, he was holding back and not nursing from these goyish women. In halacha, actually, you have, in Shulchan Aruch, it does mention, in principle, al pi halacha, it is allowed to have a goyish, a wet nurse a Jewish baby. However, it's preferable not to, because again, they eat non-kosher food, and they themselves are a dover tome, and therefore it's not appropriate. There's a vortan, in fact, from Yaakov Kamenetsky, that says, you know, so Mela, here the Gemara is saying, because Moshe is going to speak with the Shekhinah, how does that apply to your average Jewish kid? And the answer is, you see from that, every Jewish kid, you have to treat him as though one day he or she might be speaking with the Shekhinah, and therefore you have to be careful to avoid any trace of Tumah with them. This fits very well with the campaign that ever started in the mid-80s, and about not having pictures or dolls or whatever of non-kosher animals around kids, so it kind of fits together with that idea. Make sure that they're surrounded by Dvorim to hurt him. You never know. This kid one day might be somebody who speaks with the Shina. Tzivos Hashem is also part of that, yeah.
What is the connection between not eating kosher and speaking Divrei Torah?
Speaking not so much speaking Divrei Torah, but speaking with Hashem. The same mouth that ate, that nursed from Dvorim to Meim should not be, it's not appropriate that same mouth would be speaking with Hashem.
Was
Baal Tshuva or Ger is different, you know, but besides that also, you know, keep in mind, you know, you have the story with the Baal Shem Tov, with the childless couple for many years, and then they had a baby and he passed away at 2 years old, but the whole thing that this baby was a gilgal of a prince who had nursed from his Goyish mother, the queen, for 2 years, and therefore he had to come back down to the world to nurse for 2 years from a Jewish mother. You know the story I'm talking about, right? So, yeah, you're not familiar? And the gist of it is just that there was this childless couple comes to the Baal Shem Tov, and it gives them a bracha for a child. Then they have a boy. When he's 2 years old, they bring him to the Baal Shem Tov. He gives him a kiss. And
those examples work because they all
medieval. The Baal Shem Tov is not medieval times, you know, but I don't know. Hey, listen, nowadays, that's true, but anyway, yeah. Listen, nowadays, who hires wet nurses anyway? If a mother can't nurse, use formula, you know, come on. Anyway.
They were giving names of animals to people
that
don't bear
our
names.
Yeah, what is that
for you? They're not kosher
animals. Giving animals names is something else. I mean, yeah, those animals have certain qualities. We see that Yaakov used them in his brachas, for example. That's different. Yeah, I mean, the Rebbe pointed out in those sichas when he was talking about in those years about not having non-kosher and pictures of non-kosher animals and whatnot. It's one thing, you know, that doesn't mean you can't, for example, take a kid to a zoo. You know, they also they do have to see the flora subverted, but, you know, on the whole, they should be, at least when it comes to pictures and things like that, they should be surrounded by pictures of kosher things. Anyway, Marsha points out the question in the Gemara was as follows. Miriam obviously didn't want them to realize that she herself is a Jewish woman and this is a Jewish baby. It's one thing Bastia realized it because, like we said, she saw he had a bris, but she doesn't need everybody else to know that. So why would she be openly saying, let me go find a Jewish woman? So the reason must be because she had already tried with the non-Jewish women and it's not working. So therefore, yeah. So now, in fact, Marsha points out, now you have like this. There is a din in Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah and the Gemara deal with certain dinim about business relationships and personal relationships and whatever between Jews and Goyim. One point is, it says over there, you're not supposed to have a Jewish kid, no Jewish baby nursed from a non-Jewish mother unless it's on the premises of the Jew, because otherwise we're concerned that the wet nurse may kill the baby. So over here, the point is, so therefore, but on the other hand, over here, to say openly we want to call a Jewish woman in the first place might be a greater danger, because again, then the whole secret is going to be spilled that Bastia just saved the Jewish kid, so therefore there may not be a choice. And Marsha also adds, listen, you know, the Gemara says over there that where there's mirtas involved, where the goy would be afraid to harm the yid, then such things are mutter. The Gemara gives other examples over there. For example, in principle, the Gemara says you're not allowed to get a haircut there by goyish barber for the same reason. He may use his razor on the person's neck rather than his hair. But if, for example, the person is an Adam Choshuv, then it's allowed because the goy would be afraid to do such a thing. The post can say that applies more generally nowadays. Nowadays, the guy would be the guy would get arrested and thrown into jail for killing a yid, so therefore he wouldn't do it. So by the same token, if Bas Pare is telling a goyish wet nurse, take this baby and nurse him for me, she's going to be afraid to harm him even if she realizes at some point it's a Jewish kid. But nevertheless, so that's why. So, since Miriam doesn't want the secret to be spilled, the only reason why she's saying let's get a Jewish nursemaid and a Jewish wet nurse must be because they tried the goyish ones already and it wasn't working. Thus the pasuk says, "Es mi yodadeya, to whom will Hashem teach understanding? Will teach the Torah. Ves mi yovin shmua, and to whom will Hashem make to understand what he hears? Gmulei mecholav, those who are weaned from milk. Atikei meshadayim, those who are removed from the breasts." Simple meaning of the pasuk is something like you have the Jews of Yeshaya's times are saying, we adults don't have to listen to you. You want to say nevuah, you want to teach people Torah, go and find little kids and teach them in cheder. We're not interested. But now the Gemara is doubting it about Moshe. At Lemi Yodadeo, Lemi Yovin Shmua, to whom did Hashem teach the knowledge of Torah, and to whom did Hashem help, understand the words of Torah that he heard from Hashem, lig mule mecholav, the one who weaned himself off the milk, who refused to nurse from the goyish women, ula tike mishadayim, and the one who removed himself, la tike l'moshon vayatek misham, Rashi says, he removed himself from there, to the one who removed himself from the breast and had nothing and wanted nothing to do with them. Marsha explains the double expression is. The double expression is because really there are two concerns for a Jewish kid, for a Jewish baby nursing from a goyish nursemaid. First of all, there's what we said, that after all, she eats devarim tmeim. Second of all, the Gemara also mentions a point over there that, you know, like this we said, she may, if she takes him into her own rishus, she may kill him outright over there because nobody's watching. But the Gemara also brings up a problem that you may have even if she wants to kill the baby without anybody knowing. She'll smear some poison ointment on her nipples and the baby will get that. So therefore, Moshe wouldn't even take that into his mouth. So therefore, that's with double expression. Gmula mecholav, he wouldn't nurse the milk. Atikin mishadayim, he wouldn't even touch the breasts because, like, instinctively, he realizes already these concepts that are later codified in the Gemara. Actually, Marsha says technically the halacha is not like that, which is why you are allowed to have, again, in principle, you are allowed to have a goyish wet nurse nurse a Jewish baby. We're not concerned about this business with poison ointment, but nevertheless, Moshe was Makadish Asmim Mutterloi. So that's why Miriam is saying we have to get a Jewish nurse and a Jewish wet nurse, because they had already tried all the goyish ones and it wasn't working. So the pasuk says, "Vatermela bas pare lechi." So bas pare tells her, "Go." Vatela ha'alma, and the young girl went, and she called Yechevin. So why is it calling her Alma? Till now, it calls her achosoi, and his sister. Now all of a sudden, it's using a different word, ha'alma. Means she went very quickly and eagerly, like a young girl. Rashi points out the word alma comes from a word that means strength. You have a word in Lashon Kodesh, elam for a boy, alma for a girl, which means somebody who has youthful strength. So she went with tremendous quickness. She was young, but Ben Yehoyada points out, we learned before how Miriam for a long time was very sick and weak until Kalev married her and nursed her back to health. So therefore, the fact that now she ran with the strength of a young girl means that it's a big thing. In other words, that she kind of pulled herself together and went in and then used more than the regular kofis that she would have. Okay, so Yecheved comes, Vatomela Baspara, and Baspara tells her, Hey, Lichi is a Yelra Zef. Oh, sorry, you're right. Rav Shmuel Nachmani, Mashal Lima Svera. Sorry, thank you. Rav Shmuel Nachmani says another reason why it says Ha'alma, because she hid her words. She didn't tell him that she's his sister. She didn't tell him that the woman she's bringing is her mother. So, as Maharshal says, she didn't want it. She didn't want the secret to be known that this is a Jewish baby, because everybody involved there is going to be in great danger if they do. So that's another reason why it says Ha'alma. So the pasuk says, "Vatomel baspara." The baspara tells her, "Hey, Rishi, say yellow razeh. Here, take this baby and nurse him for me." So, Omer Abchama Brachanina. Here also, like we said before, with the word zeh, misnaba ve'ini adas ma misnaba. This is another example where baspara's words, where she's saying something of nevuah, and she doesn't realize the full import of what she's saying. Heilichi means hei shalichi. The word heilichi can be broken down to mean here, this is yours. So she doesn't realize that this is Yecheved's own baby, but she's saying a word that Ben Yehoyada points out, and again, she's speaking in Egyptian, but whatever word she used in Egyptian, which Torah is translating into heilichi, was the same kind of thing where inadvertently it meant here, this is yours, rather than here, this is for you to take care of. I forgot to mention before, by the way, when we talked about before, about in this connection about Misnabim, any day my Misnabim, about Pyra's astrologer is seeing something and speaking and not knowing what they're speaking. Ben Yehoyada says a cute vote in it also. He says, you know, okay, so Basti calls him Moshe because she says, Minamayim Mishisihu, I drew him out of the water. Now that's the meaning of it in Lashon Kodesh. But Ben Yehoyada brings from the famous writer Philon Halaxandroni. He was a Yid, Philo, whatever was his Greek name. He's also called by the Jewish name Yedidya. He was a Yid, a philosopher who lived in Alexandria towards the end of the Second Mishmikdash. He was a leader of the Jewish community over there. He wrote several books in Greek on various aspects of Yiddishkeit. Anyway, he explains over there that actually the name Moshe, he says, you know, like this is the Greek form of it is Moses. He explains that also. He says Mo in ancient Egyptian means water, and Siz, or Se, or whatever, means taken out. So literally the name Moshe, the Egyptian form of the name Moshe, also means pulled out of the water. So now Ben Yehoyada says, think about it then. In the palace where Moshe is being raised, they're all calling him by this name. And it never occurred to anybody, hey, wait a minute, what does that name mean? Drawn out of the water. Why would he be drawn out of the water? Let's start investigating over here. And it never occurred to them. That's also an example of what we said before, that they're talking and they don't know what they're talking. They're saying his name and they don't even chapsuch what they're saying. Okay. Next. So Baspare says to Yecheved, Vani etenesorech, I'll pay you for nursing this baby. So again, she doesn't know that this is the baby's own mother. Look at that. Not only did the tzaddikim get what they lost is returned to them, where here Yecheved thought that she had lost Moshe, like we learned yesterday, she even put a little chuppah inside the basket because she figures I may never see his chuppah. So now not only does she get what she lost brought back to her, Elishan Noisim Lahem Schar Ima, but together with it they receive payment. Shenemavani Etan Eschorech, as we see that here Baspare is paying her for nursing her very own baby. The Medrash says on it, you know, we learned before in the Gemara, we said that Shifra and Pua, besides that they saved the Jewish babies and they weren't listening to Paray, we said they were also supplying the poor mothers with water and food, so now this helped make up for it. Now she's getting a payment from the royal palace, so that helps make up for all that money that she had been laying out in the years before that for the Jewish mothers. Okay. So now we finally arrive at we started the sugya because the Mishnah had given an example of Midah Keneged Midah, where Miriam was waiting there 15 or 20 minutes to see what's going to happen with baby Moshe, and then everybody waited for her for a week when she had Tzaras. So now we finally arrive at that part of the story after having gone through the whole background of how it came to this point. So now, later on, eventually, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, after Kriyas Yamsuf, the pasuk says, "Vatikach Miriam and Aviyah, Achos Aaron as a toif biyada." Miriam and Aviyah, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and then she led the women in singing shira. So why Achos Aaron v'loy Achos Moshe? Why is it called the sister of Aaron when she's also the sister of Moshe? The answer is Amar Rav Nachman, Malamed Choice Misnabak Shi Achos Aaron. She was saying Nevuah even back when she was only Aaron's sister before Moshe was even born. But in Meres she was saying Asidi Imi Shetelad Bein Shemeshias Yisrael. My mother is going to give birth to a boy who's going to save the Jewish people. And now, Marshall says, the reason why the Pasuk is Davka being Miram is this over here is because now, through Moshe, the whole Jewish people were saved. And Moshe led the men in the Shira. So now we're saying women, so now we're saying that Miriam, all those years earlier, 80 years earlier, had already had, 81 years earlier, had already had Nevuah long before that this is going to happen. So therefore, the Pasuk stresses that, the Pasuk highlights that by calling her Achos Aaron. The Kivin Shenolad Moshe, then when Moshe was born, Nismalakola Bayezorah, like we learned before, the whole house was filled up with light. So they realized it must be true, her Nevuah. Omer Avio, and a Shakal Rosha, so her father came and kissed her on her head to show that I recognize that your Nevuah is true, you understood your Nevuah correctly. Omer Lai, he says, to her Biti, Niskaim Nevuasich, look at that, your Nevuah came true. So the Kivin Shechi Luhuli Ur, but then 3 months later when they put Moshe in the basket in the river, and they were all thinking that that's it, he's a goner, B'derech HaTeva, he's going to get swept out to sea, and that'll be that. Omer Davia, B'tof Ha'arosha, then her father went and hit her on the head. Omer Lai, he says, Biti Heichem Nevuasech, so where is your Nevuah? You must have misunderstood your Nevuah or something. So meaning, in other words, Maushal says, Poshet, they gave up. They had thought the Nevuah was true at the time, the Smala Abayis Kola Ora, but now they Poshet, they had Yush. They gave up on it. However, Maushal brings from a sefer called Shodesh Yishai that said that it was her mother had given up. That Yecheved, like we learned before, was in despair and she put the chuppah over there. But according to that Gisa, Amram all along kept his amunah in her Nevuah. It's only Yecheved that gave up. So then according to that, the Gilsa would be Omer Ima, the Tof HaRosha, that was Yecheved, who hit her on the head and asked, where's your Nevuah? Maharsha explains that actually what it may be is that to begin with, when Miriam had this Nevuah, she didn't necessarily tell it to both her parents. She told it to Amram because it's important for him to know. Like we learned before, Amram and Yecheved had divorced, and she has to convince Amram to remarry Yecheved. So part of her argument was you should know, I had a Nevuah that if you remarry, that if you remarry our mother, then she will have a baby who will save the Jewish people. She never had to tell it to Yecheved in the first place, because right now she doesn't need to know it. So in other words, according to that, Maharsha says, Yecheved may never have known of the Nevuah before at all. When we said before, She'elima esvareha would mean not only that she concealed from Bas Parei that this is a Jewish boy and this is my brother. She also, to begin with, she had concealed from Yecheved that she had the Nevuah about what's going to happen in this baby to this baby in the first place. So therefore, so now her mother is saying, when she's saying, Heichan Nevuasich, she's saying, and basically, that she didn't even know that there, she didn't even know that there that, that there was she didn't even know that there was a Nevuah in the first place. She thought when the baby was born and the house is filled with light, it means it's because of something else. So according to that, Maharsha said it may be that Amram, who actually had heard the Nevuah from Miriam, never lost faith in it, but Yecheved didn't hear the Nevuah in the first place, and therefore she didn't know what's going to happen. Why'd she ask? She means, in other words, I don't know. So Maharsha doesn't. Right, so Maharsha doesn't explain. Right, yeah. So it means, in other words, like you said something, but she didn't realize that it was a full-fledged Nevuah. In other words, the point Maharsha seems to be making, according to that way of looking at it, is if Yecheved had known that it's a full-fledged Nevuah, she wouldn't give up her Emunah in it either. You don't give up an Emunah in a Nevuah just because it doesn't seem to be coming true. But if she never knew to begin with that it's a Nevuah, and look, Miriam was all 5 years old at the time, it's not very likely that, Yecheved didn't know what's going on. Anyway, so behind...
It sounded like that she was a 5-year-old. She was going around telling everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. Some 5-year-olds know how to keep a secret, I guess I meant.
So,
what?
She told only
her father. According to Maharsha, she may have told only her father. Thus the Pasuk says that Her sister stood far away, Ledea Maya Oseloi, to find out what's going to happen. Meaning, Maya Oseloi means Leda Maya Heva, safe Nivuasa. She wants to know what is going to happen in the end with her Nivuah. Which actually, an interesting point about that is, Maya Oseloi, there's a vote from the Chofetz Chaim on it, Maya Oseloi implies, I know something is going to happen. I know Hashem is going to do a nest somehow, and it's going to work out even though everything seems hopeless. I want to be here, I want to see how that's actually going to happen. I don't have any doubt, she's thinking to herself, that my nevuah is going to come true, but I'm curious, I want to see how Hashem is going to arrange for it to happen. And he brings in this connection, it's brought from the Chofetz Chaim, in this connection that he was once talking about in the years before the war, the yeshivas in Europe were in a very bad way, most of them were going bankrupt, and he says, we don't know how the Eibush is going to save the yeshivas, but we know he's going to, because he loses shachak with Pizarai. So in the same way over here, he says that that's the vote over here. Miriam knew that it's going to come true. She's just wondering, Sataka, how is it going to come true? I want to stand here and say. There's a vote on it also, that's why the pasuk says...
Yaakov was saying,
the near my Yuchal. Well, that was Shimon and Levi saying, with Yaakov was actually involved with Shomer as a dover. He was waiting for it to happen. Yeah. There's also a vote on it that says that's why the pasuk says, Vatesatzav Achoisei. If it just meant that she stood, it would be Vatamid Achoisei. Vatesatzav, in Loshen Yotza, the word Nitzav means to stand very firmly and very firmly and very strongly and very, very courageously. So, like, she's standing there. I know it's going to come true. I'm going to wait here and see how it's going to come true. So she never lost her emunah, and we'll say, according to Marsha, neither did Amram as well. Amen. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola, Tzayin Ad, Tzayin Ir. In Pirkei Avos, you have a Mishnah there in Parakeh that Golus Bola Olam, that Golus comes to the world because of Avodah Zarah, Gilad Ayis, and Shvichus Damim, and because of failure to keep Shemitah Haaretz. So that means, in other words, that Rebbe comments in a sicha, you see from that really how, so to speak, golus should be an impossible thing. Or it takes violating these very, very severe averus, only then golus vola olam. You have to think of it. These are only four mitzvahs we're talking about. So that means, conceivably, you could be having, people could be violating 609 of the mitzvahs, and there's still no room for golus. And the reason is, because it's Hashem's world, so how could there be a concept of golus in it? So in other words, the whole concept of Golus by right should not exist.
I must say.
Okay, continuing with halachas of Kiddush Levana. So first of all, blind person is able to do Kiddush Levana because even though he can't see the moon, he benefits from the fact that other people can see it. The Gemara mentions in a similar vein, for example, that a blind person can make the bracha Yotza Ma'oris and other such brachas because he benefits from the fact that other people can see it. And the Gemara brings a story in that connection where Rabbi Yossi one time sees a blind person walking along carrying a torch at night, and he asks him, what's the torch for? You can't see anyhow. And he says, this way other people see me and they can save me from falling into pits or other dangers like that. So in a similar vein, when there's moonlight, then other people can help the blind person. Now, what happens if the moon is shining before Ma'ariv? So now, ideally, daven Ma'ariv first and then do Kiddush Levana. Because Tadur Shana Tadur, Shadur Koydim, Ma'ariv is every night. Kiddush Levana is only once a month. And also, Kriyishma is Daraisa. But what if there's only a couple of nights left? Now you start having concerns that it might be cloudy, that it might get cloudy. Now, I don't know if that applies nowadays when we've got weather apps and things and it's easy enough to see whether it will be cloudy in the next 15 minutes after Ma'ariv, but let's say, for example, so, and then during the rainy season, even four nights, so then maybe do Kiddush Levana before Ma'ariv. What if the moon becomes visible while they're saying Krishna? So now, if it's really, really short time, and that's very close, it's very close to the Sirach Zman, and by the time they end Shemana Esther, the time will be over, then they can stop even in the middle of Birkas Kriyishma, even in the middle of Kriyishma, to be Mekadosh Levana. Otherwise, at least, they should wait till after Shemana Esther, and at least, if at all possible, they should wait Vena Prakin, wait between the sections of Kriyishma, between one bracha and the next, between one paragraph of Shema and the next, and do it then, rather than doing it in the middle. But if there's absolutely, if it's literally a couple of minutes left of the Zman, and there was concern of clouds or whatever, then we're saying that you interrupt even the middle, even the emsat parak of Kriyishma in order to do it. But pashkos, that would mean any place except for doing the pasuk Shema or Baruch Shem, because with those, as we know from the table in the back of the siddur, for those you don't interrupt for anything whatsoever.